This is Sean Stewart, and I'm speaking with William L. Valenti, better known as Bill. He is a Bend, Oregon-based singer-songwriter, a protest song historian, and he also has an online journalism project called Rantcaster. For 3 years in a row, he has a series called The Art of the Protest Song. This year, it's running in conjunction with the closing date of High Hopes, the Journey of John F. Kennedy exhibit. And this is next Sunday?
Next Sunday, November 12th, at the Oregon Historical Society in downtown Portland, starting at 2 p.m. Yeah, 2 p.m. to 3:30.
Could you give us some details about the event?
The event, actually, the tail end, it's the last day of this, I think, 4 or 5 months running exhibit on JFK. Eliza Canty Jones, who's the program director there, gotten to know her and mentioned her several times, our Art of the Protest Song series, and she thought it would be interesting to bring that to the conclusion of the JFK exhibit, especially including some protest songs from the Kennedy era, which is what we're planning to do.
So this is the third year in a row that you're doing this. Could you tell us about how the project came into fruition?
It kind of started, I have focused a lot of my songwriting efforts on sort of rejuvenating the art of the protest song. I grew up, came of age in the 60s, listening to and covering protest songs from the like of Pete Seeger and Phil Oakes and Bob Dylan and all the denizens of the 1960s protest songwriting scenario. And when I started doing performances, when I started writing songs, actually about 8 or 9 years ago when I moved to Bend, I included a lot of my own protest songs in my set list, and I began to hear from audience members that they really enjoyed hearing the kind of music that they just don't hear anymore on the radio. It doesn't get radio play. You don't hear it at the big folk festivals. And really the only place where you hear original protest songs is in news and events like the Art of the Protest. So hearing that kind of feedback from the audiences led me to put together this idea called the Art of the Protest Song, which I consider to be kind of an edutainment event in that it includes classic protest songs from throughout U.S. history, civil rights movement, labor movement, environmental movement, etc., classic protest songs known by just about everyone, and contemporary original work on contemporary topics. And the idea being that I consider the protest song to be a unique genre in the musical space, as much, I would argue, as a form of journalism as it is a form of music. We put together our first Art of the Protest Song show. It was really more than 3 years ago. It was during the Occupy Wall Street theme, which is, I think, about 5 years old now, and maybe 4 or 5 years old. I'm kind of lost track of that. And we did one at the Tower Theater here in Bend, which was kind of fun because we kitted out the stage to look like an Occupy site with tents and burn barrels and debris and signs and all that kind of stuff, and it was a lot of fun. So we took that idea on the road, not with the same performers, but it's actually, I'm the common ingredient in all of these shows, and we've done 17 shows now around the country in the last 3.5 to 4 years, I guess. Focused mainly on the West Coast, but we've done a couple of shows in New Jersey and have invitations to do shows in a number of other places in between. So that's kind of the history of it. And the audience reaction to all of these shows has been overwhelmingly positive. Again, a lot of people coming up afterwards and saying we don't get to hear this kind of music on the radio or in any of the familiar venues anymore. So it's nice to have a reprise of great classic protest songs from our past and to hear well-crafted original work that's addressing topics of current interest.
You have three other performers besides yourself, Alexa Wiley, Magdalena, and Nathan Earle.
Yes.
Could you give us a little background on those folks?
All three of them are very experienced songwriters in their own right. And I actually have not met Nathan, but I'm looking forward to it. But Magdalena and Alexa Wiley. Alexa is a Portland-based songwriter, and I performed with her in a couple of Art of the Protest song events, one in Portland a few years ago at Artichoke Music, and the most recent one here in Bend that I think it's about 3 or 4 months ago. Magda is a songwriter that I met actually at one of Matt Meehan's songwriting workshops, and she has a terrific repertoire of feminist protest songs, I would say. And Nathan also has quite a repertoire of protest songs in his portfolio. And so I think the combination of, you know, two guys, two women, focusing on both classic protest songs and contemporary stuff is what makes the idea very interesting. So, you know, each of us will do covers from the Kennedy era. That's the sort of the basic idea. And then each of us will also do two or three of our own original works.
In an age that we are currently living in, with the political climate and the strife and all that we've been experiencing with, you know, racial injustice and, you know, violence, what can you tell us why the protest song is as relevant, if not more relevant, than it's ever been?
Well, I would make the argument that the protest song and spoken word poetry, really, I consider to be sort of in the same category, have for virtually all of human civilization been a very form of communication, a powerful form of op-ed commentary, and in fact have been, for most of civilization, the vector by which people got their news and their opinion and their commentary. It was troubadours and bards and minstrels and goliards and all these other terms used to describe people who wandered around the landscape bringing people their news in the form of songs and spoken word poetry. And it's not that that has died out, it's just that it hasn't really, I don't think, has not been integrated very well into the current source of news, which is the web medium. And a lot of what I'm doing in this idea called Rantcaster is related to the reintegration of the protest song into the print media. But I think that it has always been such a powerful form of communication. And obviously the things that are going on around us right now just cry out for more protest songs on what's going on around us. So my humble goal is to get more and more songwriters focused on writing songs, topical songs, protest songs, and performing them, whether in small venues or large venues or on radio stations or whatever, in order to bring the genre back to life. I think it has gone a little bit dormant in the last 20 or 30 years, in large part because it doesn't get radio play, as I mentioned earlier.
Do you have a community or a group that you have assembled that is looking to try to reconvene community of people that are looking to write songs about social justice issues?
Yes. I mean, the more I do these events, the more I discover artists who are interested in presenting some of their work, some of their protest songs, or in learning more about it. I mean, I had a conversation last year, I guess maybe 18 months ago, in Corvallis, Oregon, with a guy who's got a long association with the Grammy Museum and the Grammy organization, and he was really excited about the idea in that it presented a platform for up-and-coming songwriters to focus on, to find a venue, to find an outlet for their work on topical songs. And I truly believe that that is one of the goals. Well, certainly it is one of my goals, is to make venues available for songwriters who have an inclination to write protest songs, to find venues where they can perform them. I think under this banner of the art of the protest song, I think we make a convincing argument that the protest song is a distinct genre of music, in that it has this, I would argue, a very powerful journalistic component to it.
Where can our listeners find out more about you and your music and your various projects?
Well, I'm kind of an unusual songwriter. I've written hundreds of songs in the last 8 or 9 years since I started writing. And by the way, I'm going to be 69 years old in a week or so. And I cut my teeth on protest songs during the heyday, the golden age of protest songwriting and performing in the 60s. So I'm not a spring chicken, and I kind of describe myself, humorously, as a submerging artist. But what I've done, I don't have a CD. I haven't produced a CD. I do all my stuff is just live, and it keeps me honest, keeps me going. But one of the things I've discovered is a good example. Four years ago, I guess it was, when the uprising, the Arab, so-called Arab Spring uprising in Cairo and a number of other places in North Africa, I wrote a song called Rise Up, and I wrote the song, I recorded it, I created a little slideshow, and I posted it on YouTube and started posting links to the song with news articles from CNN, from BBC, from all these other news organizations about that topic. And I found that the song became immediately associated with the news, and therefore got many thousands of downloads in just a few days, because it was topical, current, punchy, and because I associated it with the news, it became almost like a little bit of op-ed journalism on the side. And I've been doing a lot of that since that initial experience with the Arab Spring uprising. And I've encouraged other songwriters that I've come to know to do the same thing, to listen to what's going on in the news, try to synthesize it into a 2.5 or 3 or 3.5 minute song, and present it to the world as in association happening in the news. I think that's a really powerful way to present this music, and so I've been doing a lot of that, and I intend to continue to do more of it and to encourage other songwriters to do the same.
Do you have any other events coming up?
We are working on an Art of the Protest song in Seattle sometime in January. I don't have any exact dates or even the venue yet, but I'm working on it. And we have an invitation to do an Art of the Protest song show at the Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma in February. And I'm really excited about that one, because obviously Woody Guthrie is considered to be an icon in the protest song writer community. And it would be kind of fun to go there and do this kind of presentation. We also like to do one at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles, again, for the reasons I mentioned earlier. I think there's a great opportunity to instill the art, the craft of writing protest songs in a bunch of up-and-coming songwriters. I've also done a couple of workshops on protest songwriting, one at the most recently at the Tumbleweed Festival in Washington in September. So, yeah, I mean, the plan going down the road is I've gotten to know a lot of other songwriters. I've started talking to a pretty broad network of songwriters around the country and even outside the country about staging Art of the Protest song events in their communities, where a local advocate or protagonist books a venue, recruits two or three other songwriters, and I show up as the MC and pull the thing together, and we take the show on the road. So each show has a different group of individuals involved. I'm kind of the common denominator, but the idea is to get local singer-songwriters involved in promoting a show and then go on to the next venue.
So you're planting seeds.
Yeah, I think, let's call me the Johnny Appleseed of protest songwriters. And I kind of consider it to be my mission to get other songwriters interested in doing this. And there's always been, in fact, I kind of bristle every time I hear somebody say this, that, you know, people, particularly folk songwriters and pop songwriters, are very afraid of writing stuff and performing stuff that might offend certain members of the audience. I certainly appreciate that, especially for someone who's making a living doing gigs and making records. But in general, for people like me who aren't professional singer-songwriters but are, you know, passionate about the idea, I think it's just complete baloney that if you have something to say and you can craft it into a clever, well-written 3 or 3.5 minute song, there's nothing more powerful than that. I always say that the pen is mightier than the sword, but a song is mightier still. And I get great feedback on that slogan from the people that to whom I mention it in our performances. And I think they're generally in agreement that they want to hear more songs like this.
Bill, thank you so much. That was fantastic. I appreciate the time you took with us to talk about the event and the future of the Art of the Protest song.
Well, thank you very much, Sean, for the opportunity, and I hope lots of folks come out to the Oregon Historical Society next Sunday, November 12th, and you'll hear some really good stuff from the Kennedy era and some really good stuff from what's going on around us today. Of cowards on the right. So off them all these neocons who never join the fight. Reveal for all the feckless gall of cowards on the right. Whose flag great bluster can't conceal the stripe of yellow hue that separates false patriots from heroes true and blue. I can hear the chants of toadies leading cheers for victory. As the chicken hawks now scheme to shift responsibility. But wiser men hold history's pen, this story's ours to tell. The neocons will soon be gone, and we do not wish them well. So off them all these neocons who never join the fight. Reveal for all the feckless gall of cowards on the right. Whose flag draped bluster can't conceal the stripe of yellow hue that separates false patriots from heroes true and blue.